Fastball bounce to the right side, and Pascalo into right field, a base hit. Frazier rounds third. He's in to score. Throw goes to third, not nearly in time. Witt goes first to third. A first pitch RBI single for Salvador Perez. And it's 7-4 Royals in the top of the ninth inning.
A little afternoon baseball yesterday. The Royals handled their business here on 96.5 The Fan. And then it was a late night last night for a lot of people, keeping an eye on what was going on with the Miami Marlins. Yes, we were Marlins fans yesterday. It's interesting.
Sickening to have to keep watching them play baseball.
It is. That's a 100-loss Marlins team that helped the Royals in a big way. And today it can happen. Today it can happen. The Royals can clinch a playoff spot for the first time since 2015. That can happen later on this evening, man. What's going on? It's a Friday. It's a red Friday. It's a blue Friday. Cody, I know you don't like these kind of days, but it's a blue Friday and a red Friday at once, okay?
I didn't say I didn't like those. Last week, 2 weeks ago, you gave me a hard time about how red Friday's this no matter what, and then you were in blue, and I was confused.
Because it was supporting the Royals.
Okay, so red Friday is every day, including the day before the game, before the final weekday.
We don't got to do this again.
Unless the Royals are good, and then it's a blue Friday?
Well, you can do whatever you want. Nobody's going to like punish you for doing what you're doing. I'm saying, you're asking, why would I be wearing blue today? I don't know, man, because the team might have a chance to clinch a playoff spot for the first time since 2015. Look,
I got no complaints about your attire. Obviously, supporting our guy Vinny Pasquantino, who was hitting off a tee yesterday.
He was.
And a batting cage. Pitching machine, so giving himself a chance to maybe try to get back coming the playoffs. But last night, again, another sweat. And this all feels like a rehearsal for the stress that playoff baseball is getting ready to cause me. The last two nights are a rehearsal setting the stage for the eventual stress of actual playoff baseball, because them getting up 4-1, then it's 4-4, then a battle between the bullpens before Adam Frazier. And Adam Frazier coming through, a guy that I wasn't planning on coming through for the Royals this year, if I'm being honest, comes through at the perfect moment for the Royals. And weirdly enough, he didn't even look like he knew he hit the ball. He looked like, where did that ball go? I'm not sure where I hit it, only to realize it's heading out to left for the victory. Like in the game before, where I was just getting mad. It was like the first game of the series. I'm just getting mad that it's 1-0 the whole time. That series was perfect. No game was without its stress, but they get the sweep at the most pivotal moment of the entire season and put themselves one game away from the playoffs. Either a Twins loss tonight, don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Royals win tonight, don't care. Either way, they're in the postseason if they get that.
The magic number is one, and it is kind of interesting. You know, you think about other moments in Kansas City history with sports and clinching scenarios, and it just so happens to involve another Miami team. I could not help myself but think about a couple years ago, I guess it's been, probably over 5 years now, but when we were watching, or maybe you were at Arrowhead at the time when the Chiefs were playing the Chargers, I think it was in that final regular season game to get the number one seed, or at the time there were two home field advantage seeds, two teams get the bye, and you were keeping an eye on what Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Miami Dolphins were doing to help out the Chiefs.
And Kevin Harlan's calling both games.
Yeah, he's doing both. And so then last night, we're all keeping an eye on what the Miami Marlins are doing to assist in what the Royals might be able to do now. So it's kind of interesting. I thought they were kind of similar situations, and it sets it up to where the task is pretty simple. You laid it out there, Cody. They can clinch today with the win and do it themselves. Or if the Twins want to give them a loss, that would help. That would help as well. The Orioles are going to take on the Twins, by the way. That game is this evening. And Royals are scheduled to play this evening. We know the hurricane and obviously really scary situation down in that part of the country right now. Looks like there's major flooding. As of now, the Royals are in Atlanta. And so far, so good in terms of
Brady Singer versus Max Fried.
Yeah, we'll see if it happens tonight, but it is scheduled to happen so far.
You can hear it right here, obviously, on your home for Royals baseball, including playoff games, 96.5 The Fan. But yeah, so the Twins, I'll admit, that Marlins game, for a team that I haven't watched all year, I don't know that. I don't know who's on the Marlins. I watched the Marlins all year. No idea who any of their players are. I'm starting to think this guy Norby's a double agent. He's got 5 strikeouts. He's 0-6. I find out he's from a Minnesota suburb. I'm like, is this dude trying to toss the game for the Twins? What the hell's going on here? It looks like he's actively working against his squad. to have a 4-run lead, blow it for the second straight day. I was getting actively mad at the Marlins. Actively mad at them.
They're a 100-loss team for a reason. They're not a good baseball team.
All is forgiven because at, 11 o'clock last night, they found some way to scratch across some runs late. They stranded the bases loaded twice for the Twins. And that's the whole thing. We were talking about the Royals in the middle of that 7-game losing streak. And this is twice now this month. I know it's been hard for them because at times this month they've had an inconsistent bullpen and at times this year. But they've had great starting pitching almost the entire month of September. And so with that still going and the second Vinny went down, they felt deflated. But this is now twice in this month. And I know this has not been a good month of baseball. But this is twice this month that they were staring down the barrel of an epic collapse of which the Twins are actively doing. They were staring down the barrel of it. And twice, they pulled themselves up. They found themselves out of the damn darkness. And they got 3 straight wins against the Nationals team. They could have been fighting much more this weekend. 2 out of 3 I had taken against the Nationals. And they could have needed 2 still and some, more work this weekend. And instead, they took a sweep. I mean, how can I not say this team doesn't have incredible fight? That's incredible fight.
It is. Their projections, again, Fangraphs back up to 96, 97% chance to make the postseason. It was 94, and then it got down to 65 or something during the losing streak. They're back there. Now, everybody would agree, just take care of business today and be done with it. Otherwise, you do go into Saturday with 2 games left, Cody, and you're like, okay, it's getting a little more interesting now, and you still would need a win or another Twins loss. The reason why tonight feels like the night to accomplish it is you have an Orioles team that I believe is a win away or a Royals loss away from having their seeding basically locked in. They can't win the division, and they'll be essentially locked into that 5 spot if they win or the Royals lose or the Tigers lose, I think is the other scenario. So you may not have an Orioles team that puts much out there Saturday and Sunday against the Twins. That's another reason why it feels like tonight for both the Royals to handle their own business, but also for the Twins to lose against the Orioles, that tonight would be a perfect night for that. And it sets up some interesting scenarios with how the Royals could approach the rest of the weekend. We, of course, will not be back on until Monday. So by then, the regular season's over, and we'll be talking, hopefully, about who the Royals are playing in the postseason and everything. But how do you lay out the pitching staff? Because tonight, we know, as you said, Brady Singer, Max Fried, really good pitcher for the Braves. They're going to play it by ear. The Braves will the rest of the weekend based on how the rest of the NL in the wild card race is going on when they, if they will, pitch Chris Sale this weekend. If not, they'll wait till the doubleheader they have on Monday. But if you're the Royals, if you clinch, let's say tonight, best case scenario, you clinch tonight. Reagans and Lugo are scheduled for Saturday and Sunday.
You don't have to use them anymore.
Alec
Marsh.
How much do you think, I think fan versus organization here is interesting. How much does playing the Orioles in Baltimore versus playing the Astros in Houston matter? I told you I would rather play the Orioles.
Much rather.
Are the Royals willing, though, to say, we don't want to jeopardize Cole Reagans not being the starter in game 1 or game 2 of a postseason series? Is it that much of a gap between the Astros and Orioles that you're willing to essentially roll out Cole Reagans on Saturday or I guess it'd be Sunday? No. I don't think they'll do that. I think Saturday, if the Royals lock it up tonight, one way or the other, I think they'll probably just have Alec Marsh handle some of those pitching duties. Maybe Michael Lorenzen can give him some innings this weekend as well.
Daniel Lynch.
And that's probably the best path, as much as I would prefer playing the Orioles. I think that is the realistic scenario they go with if they clinch tonight.
I think so too, but also the problem with tonight is, and this is why it'll be fascinating to see how they do, they put everything into winning those Nationals games because they knew that the more wins they could stack up now, the better chance they had of making the postseason. But I'll just tell you who's not available tonight. Chris Bubich is not available tonight. Lucas Erceg is not available tonight. Daniel Lynch is probably not available tonight. So the problem, maybe he is, Schreiber might not be available. For the first time all season, they had Erceg pitch 3 days in a row. For the first time all season, they had Chris Bubich pitch 3 times in a row. Those guys are not available to lock this one down for you. So either Singer's gotta have it all, right? Bring his absolute A game, shove for 7 innings, and then 2 guys you would not typically rely on at the back end of the bullpen, have a nice day. Or they're going to have to go for broke on Saturday is the truth. I'll be honest.
Hopefully the Twins lose. Yes. Then you're not even sweating that, but yes.
But I think tonight, because of the way that they set it up, they went for broke in all the games that were close that they could get the wins. And they got the win in all 3. So the gamble paid off. But tonight, a huge chunk of the good part of your bullpen is not available. So unless Brady Singer shoves and absolutely has it, you're actually better off putting your chips in for tomorrow when you can have Bubic back out there, have Urseg back out there. Yeah, fine, you risk Lugo starting, but do the math. Okay, Lugo starts on Saturday. Well, then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, by Wednesday on 4 days rest, I can throw Lugo back out there. He's in game two of the wild card series. If we win game one,
then you can be.
Well, then we can just say, well, screw it. He'll pitch game five. We can,
or games, yeah,
game three.
Sorry,
on the fifth day. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. So, like, you have a little wiggle room on the game tonight. Look, I would rather the Twins just go to Baltimore tonight, get their teeth kicked in, wrap this bad boy up, and call it. There actually is a weird scenario you and I were discussing out there, which is, let's say the flooding gets out of control, the rain gets out of control, and the Royals don't play the Braves tonight. I think they will. I was looking at the weather. I know there's flooding in the area. Baseball doesn't typically operate under, like, you going to your job in Atlanta with the flooding versus the Royals who are staying.
No, but
right
they have
the
to have staff that can get to the stadium.
Sure,
right?
Sure, and safely get to the stadium. Most importantly, what? How do you celebrate clinching a playoff spot if you're in your hotel not playing a baseball game? Let's just say the Royals game got bagged tonight, and the Twins lose.
So you clinch.
Do we get videos of them just like at the hotel bar popping champagne?
I mean, sure, why not?
Do they tarp off the lobby like? I'm just asking, what's the hypothetical scenario in which you clinch a spot, but you're not at the stadium?
Yeah, we were discussing that. It's an interesting scenario. I mean, it's a good problem to have if, in fact, unfortunately, if you can't play the game, that you still find a way to clinch tonight. I don't know. My guess would be, Cody, maybe they have like a ballroom at the hotel, the convention area. They could just try to, hey, can we use this to basically go in there and celebrate? Or I don't know, does everybody just go to Vinny Pasquantino's room basically and there's just a big party? I don't know, man.
I kind of think maybe you like you get the suite. Like, if that's not the normal case, is the biggest hotel room available? Because we'd like that. We'll lay down some tarp, we'll pay the extra cleaning bill, and then, you know, somebody, Vinny's got to get a someone's got to get a cell phone out and send a few videos. Send the Royals video team, send our guy Jason Hanna or Sam, send him up to the room and get us a little like celebratory video. I still think
as of now, it's
just like, it's just a funny hypothetical, at least a little bit of like what would happen if you clinched, because most of the time there aren't a bunch of off days. So people aren't clinching when like people are off. It doesn't happen very often. I guess they'd probably be watching the game if they were off. I don't know. It was exciting. I'm excited about the possibility of doing it.
You're right, though, about the way Q managed it. I think, you know, we had a topic a couple days ago, how people's view on how he's been handling this and how much, you know, does a manager play a role in all this. But before the game, Matt Quatrero, according to Annie Rodgers, was asked, about the bullpen usage. And he said at that time he was more open this time of the year to use relievers and the idea of that 3 days in a row. Especially with how well the bullpen had been pitching. And so we saw that play out. And so I thought that, you know, that was a nice shift in adjustment. And that was the balance that we discussed actually with JJ on Tuesday, which was, hey, it is one game, but also we know there's at that time, we know there's only five games left or four games left or whatever. And so you do have to adjust. And I thought that was good to see for those that are worried that, you know, maybe they're just going by the book and how they've been doing all year. No, they're willing to pivot.
When it's 162 games, not when there's three.
They're willing to pivot, which I think should give you some confidence when the playoffs start and this team is officially in it, that they will pivot. Just because they did something a certain way in the regular season from a managing bullpen and usage, they're willing to pivot. You have to be willing. And I think that'll hopefully give some people some more confidence about how Q and the organization will approach circumstances, whether it's letting a guy go an extra inning, whether it's going back to someone in a must-get-an-out type of spot. That made me feel a little bit better.
But he did some of the things he did all year that I didn't have a problem with, which was he played the numbers game to empty his bench. The reason why Frazier was hitting is because he still had him available to go lefty-righty at the end of the game to try to give himself an advantage on that matchup. Same reason MJ came in late. By the way, the final inning in which the Royals got those three that eventually led them to the runs, that was two pinch hitters and a pinch runner.
It was left like three or four lefties in a row. They intentionally set that up going up against Finnegan.
Yeah, they unloaded the bench of lefties against a righty, knowing, because the way baseball works now is that guy's got to face three hitters one way or the other, loaded it up, pinch runner to go with it. Like, he saved his bench just to unload it. And yeah, and went back through and used Zerpa and used Urseg again and used Bubic again. And honestly, from just a confidence standpoint, and I know we're going to talk more about some of this as we go on, but when, like, from a confidence standpoint, as you look at can I trust Urseg to pitch 3 days in a row? That's never been something he's been asked to do. Bubich is coming back. Just as a quick reminder, rehab year. That's what they called it. Now they're treating it a little bit different now. Because again, you have to alter your rules based on the positioning you're currently put in. And the position you're currently put in is that, you know, times are up against it. And if you can clinch a playoff spot, things become worth it. I loved the way Q handled this entire series. Almost perfectly, if I'm being honest.
913-586-7965. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. We'll take your text. We'll get some calls a little bit later on the show as well, as I'm sure you can kind of feel a little more excitement in the air in Kansas City. I know people are still nervous waiting for it to become official, but today could be the day where the Kansas City Royals get themselves back in the postseason for the first time since 2015. It feels good just to be able to say that part of it as well after where this club has been for many years and certainly coming off a 56-win season a year ago.